A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see what the effect of hope would be on those people undergoing hardships. So they took two sets of laboratory rats and they placed them both in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set of rats in the water and found that within an hour they had drowned. The other rats were periodically lifted out of the water and then returned back into the water. And when that happened, the second set of rats swam for 24 hours. Why? Not because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. Those second set of rats somehow hoped that if they could just stay afloat just a little longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. Now, if hope holds such power for unthinking rodents, how much greater should its effect be on our lives, on you and I today? King Jehoshaphat was a godly king. He knew it was important to seek the Lord, and when he heard that this vast army was coming against him, it was no surprise that he resolved to inquire of the Lord. He got the news, he gathered the community of believers together, and together they went to the Lord before knowing the result, before even seeing the oncoming armies. They didn't have a wait-and-see attitude. There was no what if or maybe if. They took no chances and they went to the Lord. And this shows us the importance of coming together as a community of faith to inquire of the Lord about our issues that we deal with in life. As they came together, the king stood up in humility and he prayed, and in his prayer he worshiped God for who God was. He remembered all that God had done and that God had been faithful. He submitted the problem to God. He asked God to take charge of the problem, and he confessed that they did not have the power nor the wisdom to defeat the enemies or the problem that they were dealing with. First, we have to note that Jehoshaphat's first step was the best and wisest decision. He went to God. But what we see happening next is an incredible testimony to the divine grace and love of Almighty Yahweh. As the people stood there before the Lord, trusting in faith that their prayer would be heard by God, Yahweh responds. We can see that He's a God who desires to be in a relationship with us. And better yet, He comes to our aid in our times of trouble. He reveals Himself to us, and He wants to have this relationship with us even though and especially when our lives are threatened. And He does this through His Word, which here came through the prophet Jehaziel. And His message to His people here is one in which you and I can find hope even today in our lives. Let's look and see what happens as the story continues. If you remember, this vast army was coming up. Jehoshaphat had received word that these armies were coming against them. He gathered the people together in an assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord. He cried out to God. He said, God, we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon You. And all the men of Judah, with their wives and children, the little ones, stood there before the Lord. There at the temple of the Lord, they stood in what seemed like a hopeless situation. They stood there feeling helpless with their eyes fixed on the Lord, not focused on all the problems around them. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. God responded as they stood there seeking the Lord. God responded and gave a revelation through His Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel as he stood in the assembly. Four things God revealed to them there that day that they were reminded to do and serve as a reminder to us. First of all, God revealed to them through His Spirit, through Jehaziel, that they were to listen to the Word of God. He said, first of all, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. First of all, listen. Yahweh responds and says, listen. Secondly, he says to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, because the battle is not yours, but God's. This vast army was a problem that was great in size and great in its degree. It was huge. They were going to be destroyed. It was going to destroy them. But God says, listen, don't be afraid. The battle's not yours. The battle is mine. Well, we say that's easier said than done. This problem is vast that I'm dealing with. It's great in size and degree. It's too much for me to bear. I'm struggling with this. And God says, face the problem. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz. You'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. Face the problem. Don't hide, don't run, and certainly don't give in. Face the problem. And look how he says to do it. First of all, tomorrow. Do it right away. Don't put it off. Get to work on it. Don't sit around and let it become bigger than what it really is. And the second thing is, march. Tomorrow, march down against them. Get active. Get to work on it. Pray. The King James Version says, go down against them. Get down against the problem on our knees, folks. Get into battle. Listen to the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid and face the problem head on, knowing that the battle is God's, that He's in charge, that He's leading us. And fourth, He says to them, trust me. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. I like what he says, take up your positions, stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Trust God. Take a position on the problem. Stand there and say, I will not budge. God is my defender and God is in charge. This is connected to the previous verse where he says, face the problem. When we face the problem, we take a stand against the problem and say, I'm not in charge. I'm powerless. I don't know what to do. This is your battle, God. I'm turning it over to you. Take a position. Stand firm in that position. Don't back down. And watch and see the deliverance of the Lord. Yahweh will be with you, is what he's saying. Listen to the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Face the problem. Trust God. God's message is a message of assurance. It's a message of calm and peace. He says, go out and face them and the Lord will be with you. This is a result of seeking the Lord and hearing His voice. Some say, well, God doesn't speak like that to us. God doesn't speak like that anymore. God does speak to us, folks, audibly. Either we aren't listening or we are afraid to acknowledge that it is His voice. Also, God speaks in His Word, the Bible. The Spirit spoke through this man here, but God also speaks through His Spirit, through His Word. You say, well, I feel like I'm up against a sea of problems. It's just a vast ocean of problems. Well, what happened in Exodus 14? Moses said to the people, don't fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. The salvation that He will accomplish for you. The Egyptians whom you've seen, you'll never see them again. Forever. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind and turned the sea into dry land. And the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right and on their left. God led them through the problem. Okay? You might say, well, my problem's so big, it's so numerous, it's so complex. How many of you remember the story in 1 Samuel where the Philistines were coming against God's people to battle? And they were big people, and there was one in particular who was huge. His name was Goliath. And they were all terrified of the problem because it was so big. But what did it take? It took faith. The faith of a shepherd boy that came out and cast off, cast the weapons of man, the shields and the steel and the metal of man, and said, I can't fight with these. And he walked out on the battlefield. He took 5 stones. And he said to Goliath, you come with me with sword, a spear or a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have taunted. Have you ever thought about taking your problem, getting on your knees and rebuking that problem, folks, and saying, you come with me, Satan, like this to try and destroy me. This will not destroy me. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. And we need to remember, David said, this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I'll strike you down and remove your head from you. And I'll give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amazing story. David, or the people of God had a big problem on their hands. But David came out with 5 stones and he took one and he slung that stone. What killed Goliath? Not the stone, not the power of David, the faith. The faith of a shepherd boy to show it in the glory of God and the power of God in that stone to show them all that there is a God in Israel. And He's Almighty Yahweh. And He's more powerful than any problem that you're ever going to come up against. People say to me all the time, well, I feel like I'm in prison. I just feel like this problem has imprisoned me and I can't do anything. I'm in chains. Remember the story of Paul and Silas in prison? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. They were in jail and they were praising God. And the parishioners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. There's no problem too big for God. There's no prison too tight for Almighty Yahweh. There's no ocean too vast that He can't divide it for you to walk through. Even when one has a terminal illness, the problem before them is insurmountable like the walls of Jericho. And we know what happened there, don't we? What seemed so silly became the power of God because they trusted Him. God says, don't be afraid, I've overcome death, even death. For whosoever, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have eternal life. The people here in our story we have to make the battle God's and let God do the fighting. The question is, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, what does God show us here in His revelation to us here? What is He saying to us even this morning? He says, first of all, listen to my word. Listen to my word. Don't be afraid. Face the problem and trust me. It's not our business what God's going to do or how He's going to do it. Our business is having faith and trusting. We don't need to know what He's going to do. We just need to trust that He will do it. God tells them to go and face the problem. In other words, to come to terms with the problem. Take a stand that they are going to stick with and watch God work. How many of us have that attitude when the problems in life come up against us? Sometimes it takes patience. We have to wait on God, but He will work. He promises it will be a deliverance that He will give. And because these people focused on God, humbled themselves, and gave the problem to God, He responded with words of hope. Remember before they stood there, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord in what seemed like a hopeless and helpless situation. But Yahweh intervened and responded and revealed hope to His people whose eyes were fixed on Him. Their call to arms was, help God, I'm powerless. And His response was a promise of victory over the problem. Remember, if we allow God to be God, strongholds are coming down. And they will come down. They already have come down. as I look out on the congregation, I see people who have been through those struggles, through the valleys, through the vast vast armies of illness, of poverty, of depression. But what happened? God intervened and has brought us this far, because He's a faithful God who promises, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He gives us words of hope from cover to cover. I will rescue my people. What's your position? Are you going to stand firm when the immense problem attacks you? Are you going to stand firm in your faith? I will not budge. God will fight this battle. I can trust Him and rely on Him, and I will trust Him. Paul told the Roman believers, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. He said, if God is for us, who's against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness? Shall peril? Shall the sword? No, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. You know, folks, I want to tell you something. We don't conquer our problems on our own. We don't get over our sicknesses on our own. We don't get well on our own. It only happens by the glorious grace and power of Almighty God working in our lives. He says, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Paul said, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, or other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God's love, and if God loves you, He causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. These people of Judah were facing all these problems. They were depressed. They were scared. The problem was huge. And so do we in our daily battles. A bill comes in the mail. The doctor says that word we don't like. We know we're ill. Our future looks very grim. A loved one dies. A car gets wrecked. We need surgery. God says, trust me, I'll fight the battle for you. The people inquire of the Lord. The Lord responds with a revelation, and a hopeless situation is turned into a situation of hope, a situation of joy, a situation of confidence, and a situation of celebrating. What made the difference? What made the difference? God's word. God's word to the people, His word of hope, made the difference. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. They heard the word of hope. Listen to me. Don't be afraid. Face the problem and trust me. I'll fight the battle for you. They were so overjoyed that they fell down to the ground and worshiped before the Lord. And the Levites from the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice, with songs of praise and shouts of victory already won. They were praising God, and the battle hadn't even started yet. They hadn't even fought yet. They didn't even have a victory yet. But the battle wasn't even over. And they worshiped God. Why? Because the word of God reminded them that God had already been faithful before. Remember, they had been living in peace because all the nations around them feared them. They lived in the peace of God. God had brought them peace and was now promising them again that He would fight the battle for them. And all they could do was praise Him. Folks, that's the only proper response in our battles, is to continue to praise and worship God. You know the Hebrew word for worship is hallel? It's where we get the word hallelujah. And that word means to make a show, to boast and thus be clamorously foolish, to rave, celebrate, or commend. They were shouting hallelujahs. They were boasting and celebrating and commending not themselves, but the Yahweh of Israel. They were like little children foolishly raving and boasting and giving glory to God and doing it with a loud voice. You know what the definition of worship is? Definition of worship is the appropriate response to God's revelation. How does He reveal Himself to us in His Word and in His Son Jesus Christ? We worship God because He has revealed Himself to us in His Word and through His Son. And what does He tell us in that Word and in His Son? Listen to me. Don't be afraid. Face the problem and trust me. It'll be okay. I'll fight the battle for you. What faith. What joy. What hope. What a great God. He's given us His response and His Word. And He will not let His people down. Folks, remember what He's already done in your life when those problems come up. Remember what He's already done. And when in trouble, spend time in His Word. There He will reveal His response to you. It makes all the difference in the world, spending time in His Word and in prayer. God always has a special message for us in His Word. And not only is He an ever-present help, He is an ever-present hope. And if God is for us, who can be against us? The prophet Jeremiah said it this way to sum it all up. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. As much as God is our ever-present help in times of trouble, He is our only hope. Listen for His Word. Look in His Word. He's there responding to us, telling us, don't be afraid. Tackle the problem. Face the problem and trust me. I am there and I will give you the victory.